You've got the home of the truth. Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, you heard it last night. Gill Coliseum, Oregon State in a big one against Gonzaga. You heard Michael Ratai talk about it in hour one of the show today. Here's how it sounded in the final seconds, though.
Nembhard's three is off. Oregon State in Corvallis is going to take down number 16, Gonzaga. And the Beavers have their signature win.
Signature win for Oregon State. Wayne Tinkle's program dancing off. And then, of course, going straight to the airport today and heading to the Bay Area. They'll play San Francisco, USF, tomorrow, 7 o'clock. But at last night's game, sitting across from the Oregon State bench, was Joth Ricci, who is now the executive chair at Burgerville, friend of this show, Oregon State grad, and a guy whose family pledged a $3 million gift to Oregon State basketball in October. Joth, what was that like for you last night?
Well, John, it brought me back a lot of great memories from to see Gill Coliseum packed to the rafters, and to see the crowd support and the fan support, and to see the energy in the building, and I think what it did for the team, I would say. It took me back a long ways, back to days when I was in school and watched a lot of great basketball in that era. So it was fun to see Gill Coliseum packed and having fun again. That place is pretty special when it does that.
I think you might have seen this coming, because you texted me yesterday. You said, hey, I'm going to the game. Are you going to the game? And, you know, you knew that this was a big one, and I think students on campus knew that this was big. What did you see in front of this game that made you think, like, hey, I need to be eyes open at the arena?
Well, I just think you saw, you know, I think the Oregon State team this year is a, you know, with what Wayne has done and what that coaching staff has done and the way the players have matured and the way they've played together, and they've had some tough losses that I think they've learned a lot from. And so I think that there's been this momentum building for the team and for the program. And I think you and I talked about this in October when I was last on the show. I think that when Gonzaga, you know, when it was officially announced that they were joining the conference, and even though we're in the WCC this year, I think circling that game on January 16th that they were coming to town, I think that's a signature game. It's a signature moment. And it was a moment for a team who has been competing all year at a very high level, and I think it was a moment for those guys to make their mark. So I just had a feeling that maybe last night was going to be the night.
Michael Ratai, you know, he came on the show earlier and he talked about the unity that this team has and how they hang out together, they play cards together. There is something different about this group. You watched a year ago, there was a team with Jordan Pope and Tyler Bilodeau. Now you've got guys like Ratai who've really stepped up in this real melting pot feel to the roster. What do you see when you watch these guys? And you were right across from the bench. What did you see last night? Because there were some big moments that were tense.
Yeah, you see, you know, I think that there's an old adage that, you know, five-star chemistry beats five-star talent. And I think when you see a team that has chemistry and a team that gets along well together, and you can see that camaraderie from this team. You see the way they help each other up off the floor. You see the way that they communicate with each other. You see the way that they respond to Coach Tinkle and the staff. And I think you just see a body and a collection of student athletes over there. Really in it together. And I think, you know, you give a lot of credit to you know, what the Oregon State basketball program's been through, kind of what, you know, the coaching staff went out and got in the off season, and the way they kind of rebuilt this roster, and the way they really, you know, built something off of team and chemistry and building that together. And you see a group of guys that are there for each other. And, you know, you saw indications of that very early in the season. Like, you just saw the way that they were responding in early games, and it's fun to watch. Like, you want to support teams like that.
Joth, you know, you've been successful in business, in marketing particularly, both your time with Dutch Bros and now Burgerville. You know, there's some secret sauce and there's some ideas that come out of you. Do you see some of that at Oregon State? Are they capturing that? Was it in the building last night with 9,000 plus sellout, a lot of students? What do you make of it?
Well, it's definitely in the building. I think that you know, one of the things that we've talked a lot about, and I've had a chance to talk to the marketing team a little bit more with a little time on my hands now. You know, I've been able to talk about, you know, game day experience, and we've talked a lot about, like, you know, how do you rebuild magic inside the building? Like, how do you build the brand? Like, how do you think about when fans, you know, come into the building? Like, what experience do you want them to have? And I think that Oregon State's done a fabulous job in Reser, and I think the game day experience at Reser is great. And I think that the athletic department and the marketing team has done a nice job of is trying to take elements of what they do at Reser and now try to bring those into Gill and bring something to the fans so that they have a great experience. And we've talked about like that's our job, is to build an experience for a fan base so that they want to come back and they want to be part of something. And, you know, winning's great, but let's make sure that the fan experience is fabulous. And I think that the team down there in Corvallis has done a really nice job of making that happen. And you're seeing that in social media. You're seeing that in some of the communication work that they're doing. And you're seeing that now in some of the way they're building experience. And I think that for us, you know, strategically, you know, men's basketball is important to the next phase of the Oregon State athletic program, and we got to make sure that we do it well.
You and your wife, Robin, and your family made a $3 million gift in October to support men's and women's basketball, and I have to think that it's a night like last night where you go, hey, you know, like, you know, we're pointed in the right direction, but you need others to get on board as well. Have you felt and found that, you know, since you guys stepped up like that with that endowment, have you heard about enthusiasm and felt more enthusiasm coming into that area?
Yeah, I think so. I think I've heard it from, you know, from the team at Oregon State that does the work around that and some of the momentum I think that's been created about other people interested in supporting not just basketball, but the athletic department with some kind of creative giving, which I think has been great. And I think that, you know, it's in this new era of college athletics. It's a new level of competition. It's a new level of brand building. It's a new level of how we build valuation and what we do. And I think that, you know, that all of us have to understand that it's a new day. And I think you and I talked about this in the fall, that it's a new time for what our programs need to be competitive. And I think we all have to be, you know, mindful of that and do what we can to support it. And that can be everything from attending a game to, you know, liking a post on Instagram to, you know, watching the games to doing whatever you can do to support it. So I think we've seen that. I think you saw that last night with 9,300 people in the building. And I think the support is building and mounting for basketball.
Is, you know, you've worked in a leadership role at a variety of companies, you know, Stumptown Coffee, Jones Soda. You're now with Burgerville. You're with Dutch. Can you run an athletic department, or can an athletic department think like a business? Does it have to think like a business in today's world and have those ideas? Because we always get caught up on this show talking about, you know, what college athletics used to be, but they're feeling more and more like, you know, these little corporations, these universities.
Yeah, I think that, I think that has certainly been you've seen a sea change, you know, across the country and what's happening in the way that athletic departments are rebuilding, you know, their businesses, and they're rebuilding the structures of their programs, and they're rebuilding, you know, they have new responsibilities with this in-house NIL program and some of the things that you're doing. And I think that athletic departments at the college level will start to look like how you know, professional teams are running, you know, their businesses. Like the Blazers, you know, run their businesses. They have a, you know, they have to run a business. They have to run a P&L. They have to think about revenue streams, and they have to think about how they build overall valuation for their company. And I think that you're seeing a shift in how athletic departments at universities. I think some of the big universities, the big established universities, have really, you know, they've had the resources to be able to do that in the past. But I think now it's being put on everybody to start thinking about how they compete and really build these businesses as we move into, you know, the back half of the decade and forward. So, yeah, I think it's an important time, and it's an important time that you're seeing some skill set needs probably changing for athletic departments around the country.
1991, you're a student, in that era at Oregon State. Basketball, for some reason, spoke to you. Last night at the game, you're probably looking around, high-fiving people around you and going, this is a blast. What is it about college basketball, Joth, that connects with you?
You know, I don't know. I think that I grew up in a great era for college basketball. Like, I grew up in the Magic and Bird era. I mean, you think about basketball in Oregon in the late 70s and early 80s, it was, you know, the Blazers won the world championships. You had, you know, the player of the year in the country was Charlie Sitton, and he, you know, grew up in Oregon. You had Danny Ainge just down the road. You had, Oregon State was number one in the country in the early 80s and a perennial power, you know, for basically 10 to 15 years straight. And I think that the impact that those days and when Michael Jordan hit the shot, like, I can tell you where I was. I remember watching Jim Valvano bring the NC State team to Corvallis, and, you know, they barely beat Pepperdine, and then they beat UNLV in round two, and then they went on to win the championship. And I think everybody who was in those games and Gill at that time, we all felt part of the NC State ride because we got to watch them play. And so, you know, I think that through all that time, it really motivated me, as a person. I loved the game. I loved the sport. It was a really special time to be part of the sport in Oregon. And then to get to go to school and watch Gary Payton, work his magic for what was an amazing 4 years, and to be player of the year, like, that was a very special time to be there. So for me, like, that run of being a basketball fan, really was important to me, and it really made a lot of who I am and who I became, I think, as a person and a leader in running businesses. And I used a lot of John Woodenisms through my career and his pyramid of success and the things that he did, like, all those things had influence on me. Really just, I became a coach, and I just became a coach in business. But I think a lot of that time, it was a special time to be part of basketball in that era.
I'm telling you, I said earlier, executive chairman of Burgerville, and my stomach started rumbling for Burgerville. great company that people know, you know, that first restaurant in Vancouver, 1961, and has become a staple in the state of Oregon. I drove by the one that's nearest to our house the other day, Joth, and there's a line, and I said, you know what? It's parents getting strawberry milkshakes after school. It's all these kids in the car with their mom, and people, that brings people back to their childhood, right? And I said to Anna, I said, look at all these people at Burgerville. They're getting strawberry shakes for their kids. What's Burgerville doing, in your involvement with Burgerville lately? Update us on that.
Well, Burgerville is an amazing brand, as you said. I mean, this is a 60-plus-year-old business that's been in the Northwest. It supports Northwest companies. It's been beholden to sustainability and doing good-for-you food before that was ever even a thing. And so, you know, what we've really done is kind of brought a team in there, and we've got a great team inside of Burgerville. We have a great CEO and Ed Casey that's really kind of leading this to the next era. We opened up our first location, our first new location in Wilsonville last year, and then we'll be adding locations coming up. We've got Woodburn coming. We've got a couple locations in Salem coming. We've got something in Bend coming. And we're looking to basically, you know, bring Burgerville to more communities across the Northwest as we grow. And, you know, I love the brand. Like, I've always loved the brand. Those milkshakes are amazing. You know, the burgers are amazing. And a lot of the fun menu items that the team is building right now are just, it's good, it's quality food, and like we say, it's slow food fast. And so we just want to take that to more communities around the Northwest and kind of spread what is a great brand and just kind of build it for the next generation of consumers.
Joth, how much fun was last night before we let you go? Like, what were people around you saying? You know, and I'm imagining you high-fiving and just enjoying that night, but it looked really festive, especially in that overtime.
It was, you know, it was, the energy in the building was amazing, and the fun that people were having, and the, even today, the stories of people who even watched it on TV, and they're like, you know, I haven't seen or cheered for an Oregon State basketball team in that way in a very long time. And so not just the energy in the building, but just the energy of the people who even watched the game on TV. It was just like, that was awesome. That was an amazing time. And it's kind of like it's back. And I think everybody felt that way last night. They felt like they were part of a special moment last night. And as I said, it was different than some of the buzzer-beating wins or some of the wins we'd had over the years. This was a big game on a big stage in a big moment, and everybody was that was there felt it. And it was really cool, and I'm really proud of Wayne and the players for how they responded and what they did. And for the 9,300 people that were there, we had an amazing time. And I can't wait to go back.
Joth, appreciate you joining us, man. I'll catch up with you down the road. But congrats on that last night. A lot of fun to see Wayne Tinkle break through and those kids dancing around the court. Joth Ricci, thank you, man.
Thank you, John.
There he goes. Now I want Burgerville. See, Stephen? There you go. That's how it happens. You know, although I would go for one of those cheeseburgers. I'm not a milkshake guy, but I get it. I get the strawberry shake. What's on tap for this weekend? We'll talk about it coming up, plus some phone calls. Tom Brady, is there a conflict with him and Fox, and should he give up the Fox deal to become owner of the Raiders, or is he okay being a guy that has an apparent conflict of interest? 503-417-7575.